Welcome. I am Miguel Gonzalez, your host and Bible teacher. You have tuned in to Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. We thank you for joining us and deciding to spend the next 30 minutes with us. We trust that these series of lessons on Bible prophecy will encourage some as they seek to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ and live out their faith and share their faith with others. And we pray that God would use these messages for those who have not yet chosen to follow Jesus, to make a choice to follow Jesus. Before we start our current message, let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit. Above all, thank you for the Lord Jesus, who gave his life so that we may have life in turn, as we trust him and believe in him and live for him. We pray that you would open the eyes and ears of our minds, of our hearts, of our understanding, so that we may grow in our faith and be conformed to the image of Christ. May you use these messages to reach those who do not have a personal relationship with you, so that they may come to that place. We give you all the praise and glory and honor, for it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Once again, thank you for joining us. If you have been following this series, we are doing a series on Bible prophecy. The series is entitled The Bible and Tomorrow's Headlines. We have already gone through a series of different topics from the time we started this series. And in the last couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, we've actually been looking at the events of the tribulation. We've been looking at the first 3.5 years. Now, we've been spending some time in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, where we find that the Lord Jesus breaks the seal judgments, and we have been interpreting those passages so that we may know indeed in detail what it is that the Word of God is telling us will occur during the first 3.5 years. Without going into much detail, I'll just recap. Seal number one, we saw the Antichrist riding a white horse, which represented a false and short-lived peace. He gained much authority and power by conquering without blood. In other words, he conquered through means of political maneuvering and by means of treaties and agreements. In seal number two, we saw him riding the fiery red horse, which represented bloodshed. In this particular case, he was given power and ability to create conflict worldwide and to bring massacre into the picture. And the red horse, of course, represented much blood. In seal number three, we talked about the black horse, which represented famine, a natural result of war. Of course, much of the food supply is destroyed as a result of war. So we found that the world has a very small supply of food that can go around, and that the cost of that food is astronomical, and indeed you would end up paying a day's wages for just one ration of food, which would feed one individual for that particular day. Then we saw seal number four, where death and Hades are spoken of here, and we saw that they were given the ability to, in essence, wipe out, kill, destroy a fourth of the world's population. Death would take the physical part of man, and Hades would claim the immaterial part of man. Then we saw seal number five broken, and this seal was different from any of the other seals that we have seen. In fact, the focus of this particular seal was on the believers who had been martyred during this period of the tribulation period. And we know that they were martyred because of the word of God and because of the testimony that they maintained. And we also noted that in Revelation 6, 9 through 19, we're told that in due time, Christ promises to avenge the death of his followers and disciples during the tribulation period. Now we're going to head into seal number six, and that's actually the last seal we will be looking at, because seal number seven actually ushers us into the remaining 3.5 years. So we will actually look at seal number 7 later on. In the first 3.5 years, we just look at the 6 seals. Now, if you have your Bible with you, you can turn to Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. And this is what the Word of God says. I watched as he opened the 6th seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth, as late figs drop from the fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. The kings of the earth, the prizes, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? We certainly know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. A lot of things to unpack as we look at the 6th seal being broken. When the 6th seal is broken, and this will be broken most likely towards the end of the first half of the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years, and that's what we have been looking at for the past several weeks. The breaking of that seal will bring an incredible and catastrophic series of events. It'll most likely again be broken towards the middle of the tribulation period. It will create absolute chaos and havoc on planet Earth. First of all, a great earthquake is going to convulse the crust of the Earth, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, according to Revelation 6:14. This will be accompanied by great cosmic disturbances affecting the sun, the moon, and the stars, according to verses 12 and 13. As bad as these events will be, that is not the reason they will be crying out seeking death. They will be crying out, seeking death. Their hearts will be filled. This is the hearts of the people living during the time this seal is broken. The hearts of the people will be filled with fear, and they will be praying for the rocks to take their lives, because they will see God on his throne. Now, I want to point out that this judgment will include 6 catastrophic events. Number one, there will be a single great earthquake. Okay? Secondly, the sun will literally be darkened so that it becomes black. Thirdly, the moon will become as red as blood. Fourthly, there will be a meteor shower. Remember, it said on there stars will fall from the sky. There will be a strong meteor shower. Number five, apparently heaven will be opened. You know, the tribulation period is a period of incredible, unrestrained evil. The events that take place during the tribulation period are unbelievable, like nothing the world has ever seen. And apparently, when this seal is broken, heaven will be opened for a moment. Listen to this. So that the men on planet Earth will have a glimpse of an awesome scene. What will they see? They will see God sitting on his throne. Let me tell you something, folks. Whether you believe God exists or not is irrelevant. Whether you believe certain choices in life are justifiable or not is irrelevant. What your opinion of the Bible at the end of the day is irrelevant. Nothing changes the truth. Nothing will deter the events that Scripture tells us will occur from occurring. And during the tribulation period, just as we approach the midpoint of the tribulation, just at the end of the first 3.5 years, all men on planet Earth will apparently be able to see God, the God that most of the world denies, the God that most people say doesn't exist, the God that most people claim has not created anything, including them. That very God will be seen by men all over the world sitting on His throne. Surprise, surprise. Not even the millions of people who decided to reject the very existence of God have been able to do away with God. See, God doesn't cease to exist just because you say He doesn't exist. The Bible does not cease to be the truth, the Word of God, the inerrant and inspired Word of God, because you, my friend, say it isn't. The events as foretold in Scripture will occur even if you wish and hope and desire it were not true. Most of Scripture and prophecy, half of Scripture, at least half of Scripture, if not more, has been literally fulfilled. There's no reason to believe God is not going to fulfill the remaining prophecies in Scripture. And one day, during the breaking of the sixth seal, heaven will open for a moment and men will be fear-stricken and will be wishing death upon themselves, because for that moment they will see God sitting on His throne. And the sixth event is that every mountain and island will be moved. Listen, even with these events, even with all these events, and even with them being able to see God and whatever that means, there will be no turning to God in repentance. Even with everything that is happening, there will be no turning to God in repentance, but rather there will be turning from God's face. And again, I reiterate these words that Jesus made. This is just the beginning of birth pains. The worst, folks, the worst is yet to come. In the remaining 3.5 years, absolute and utter chaos, devastation, destruction, death will occur. Unprecedented, never to have been ever even imagined in world history, and certainly never to occur again. Now, we want to look at also the activity. So we've looked at the six seals. We won't look at the seventh, because the seventh will be looked at as we start looking at the last half of the tribulation. But let's look at the activities of Antichrist during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. There are two major activities, two primary activities that the Antichrist will be involved in. First of all, of course, he will be taking his place during this period. He will be emerging as the leader of the Western Confederation of Nations. And since the United States no longer is a superpower or plays any significant role in future events, Antichrist and his Roman Empire, revived Roman Empire, step into that power vacuum, and they, in essence, become the power that guarantees the protection and safety of Israel. During the beginning of the, in fact, this marks the beginning of the tribulation period, he will sign with the Jews a 7-year treaty in which he promises to give to the Jews, to Israel, what this country has traditionally given Israel during their entire existence as a nation. And because the rapture has taken place and the U.S. has collapsed, we don't play a significant role because the country has been devastated. In fact, it sees the need to fall under the protection itself of the Antichrist, because every country is going to be in allegiance with somebody. So we see one of the primary things Antichrist will be doing is he will be solidifying his power. He will be solidifying his kingdom. He will be solidifying the confederation of nations that will make up that world power during the beginning of the tribulation period. And we will see him step in where the states used to play a significant role and now become the protector and supplier and supporter of Israel. That is short-lived as well, because he has hidden motives and a hidden agenda behind the signing of that treaty. And number two, we see also that as they solidify their influence and their power, as Antichrist does, he begins to strategically maneuver politically and militarily, allowing the other world power blocks, and there's four during the tribulation period, to make their moves. Whatever power blocks are going to make moves during this period or during midpoint of tribulation, and allow them to be in essence decimated by God himself, so that eventually Antichrist, after the midpoint of the tribulation, can usurp the power of the world and become the world's ruler. So the activities of Antichrist are essentially just allowing his empire to solidify and form, and remember, he's empowered by Satan himself. So much of the abilities that he has are not his own. He's a human being. He's empowered by Satan himself. Now let's consider what the religious landscape will be during this part of the tribulation period. We said in a previous message that religion will be alive and well during the tribulation period, at least during the first 3.5 years. Now remember, the only difference in the religious landscape between now and the tribulation period is simply this: all Christians, all those who are followers of Jesus Christ, will have been raptured at right before the beginning of the tribulation period. All Christians will be gone. They will have been summoned by Christ to meet him in the air, and all Christians will be gone. So those left behind are all those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And let me tell you something. All the religions, all the false religions we see in the world today, they'll just step into the tribulation period and continue to be the same false religions they are today. And you know, you can call me narrow-minded, you can call me whatever you want to call me, but only by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, only through that personal relationship with Jesus Christ is man able to be saved by the grace of God. It is because our sin has been imputed to Christ. He paid the penalty of our sin. And when we trust Jesus, his righteousness is imputed to us. That's what makes us able to go to heaven, the imputed righteousness of Jesus. So all these other false religions who preach another gospel, which according to Paul was no other gospel at all. In fact, Paul says anybody who preaches any other gospel than the gospel that he preached, which he received from God himself, should be eternally condemned or eternally damned, because it is not a gospel which saves anybody. In fact, it's a gospel which guarantees anybody who embraces a false gospel a place in hell forever. But religion will be alive and well during this first 3.5 years. It'll be an apostate church. In fact, the apostate church will be responsible for killing many who are true followers of the Lord Jesus during this tribulation period. Now let's recap on the religions of the world during this time. The only change is that Christians are gone. Those who have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior are gone. All other false religions are left behind to continue propagating their false gospels, because those religions are satanic religions. They're religions that don't restore man to a proper relationship with God. Now, we know that during that time, the Jews will return to the ancient Levitical worship system. And we also know that the major religions and cults that are present today will still be in existence during the first 3.5 years. Now, occultism will be most likely on the rise. And three, in Revelation chapter 17, we find a great deal of information regarding the apostate church. We are told that the church, that religion during the tribulation period, the church is referred to as a harlot, as a prostitute, because that church is in bed with Antichrist. In fact, the church seeks to persecute true believers and kill true believers, and it pushes the agenda and religion of Antichrist. You can read chapter 17 in order to get more information regarding the description of the apostate church that will be in existence during that time. Now, let's talk about true believers during this period. We know that all Christians are gone at the rapture, but we also know that during the tribulation period, God will make the gospel available and will cause individuals to rise and proclaim that gospel. And because of their ministry, many will be saved during the tribulation period. Now, we know for a fact that many true believers will be persecuted and will suffer during the tribulation period, because the Antichrist will be persecuting and killing them, and so will the false prophet, the one who leads the apostate church. But we know from having looked at seal number 5 that God will robe them with white robes and will in the future avenge their death. Now, during this period as well, and we're coming close to this message because we're running out of time, we want to look at what some of the other power blocks are doing during this period. We know that there is a kingdom of the south, which is led by Egypt and other Muslim and perhaps African nations. We know the kingdom of the north, led by Russia and other Muslim nations, and the kingdom of the east, perhaps led by China and other Asian countries, will play a significant role. But we know that they will be in existence in addition to the Western power bloc led by the Antichrist. During this time, there will be moves made by some of these power blocks. We know that the king of the south will attack Israel, but to no avail. They will be destroyed, and this going into the middle of the tribulation period. God intervenes as these power blocks move against Israel. We know that, for example, the northern power bloc, Russia and their alliances, will come as like a storm on Israel, and it will literally be God's divine intervention that causes the destruction of these great armies of the north who are seeking to destroy the nation of Israel and eradicate the Jews from the planet Earth. The Antichrist just sits aside and allows God to do his thing in the destruction of these power blocks who attempt to come against Israel, so that eventually he can step in and sit himself in the temple at the abomination of desolation, so that he can crown himself ruler of the entire world and make the world literally worship him. Well, we'll have to come to an end at this particular point, but we want to continue in our next message. We'll continue looking at the very end of this period of time. We'll look at what occurs during the middle of the tribulation, and then we'll go into the events of the last 3.5 years. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity. We pray that you would use these messages to reach all those who are listening and viewing us today. We pray that you would use your word. We know that your word says that your word will not return to you void. May you do your will. May you speak to those individuals clearly and loudly. Thank you for the salvation that you have provided us and for your precious word. For it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.